begin to move outward, because that's what the Spirit of God naturally compels us to do. So when the Spirit's at work and there's maturity happening, we begin to see it's not just about us.
This is Mission Central, a podcast for emerging Christian leaders. I'm your host, Chris Easley. It might seem strange to do one more Christian leadership podcast. There are so many out there, and many of them are created by leaders who are far smarter and more experienced than our team here at Mission Central. But most of those podcasts focus on established leaders rather than emerging leaders. By emerging leaders, I mean both young leaders and those who are getting their start in leadership, regardless of their age. If that's you, if when you hear the word leadership, you're excited but also a little unsure of how it all works, this podcast is for you. Our goal in the podcast is to talk about four things: spiritual formation, effective leadership, emotional health, and multi-ethnic community. Each of those things deserves a podcast all by itself, and there are many great resources out there that address each of them individually. But what we want to do here is help emerging leaders to think about how those four things fit together. It pays to get intentional about all four of them right from the start in your life as a leader. If you run after effective leadership, but you neglect spiritual formation and the life of your soul, you're going to burn out and hurt the people you're trying to serve. On the other hand, if you care deeply about spiritual formation and emotional health, but don't pay attention to the dynamics of healthy multi-ethnic community and Christian social action, you run the risk of an individualized approach to faith that isn't true to the biblical vision of justice and reconciliation. So rather than one more podcast that tackles these things in isolation, here's a conversation about how they go together. We'll be hearing from a wise and diverse group of guests who speak with conviction and clarity about these topics. Today, for our first episode, we get to hear from Pastor Bethany Allen. She's so into spiritual formation, it's part of her job title.
I am the pastor of spiritual formation and leadership development here.
Here is Bridgetown Church in Portland, Oregon. Portland is one of the least religious cities in the United States. According to the Public Religion Research Institute, over a third of Portlanders have no religious affiliation at all. So a leader from a thriving faith community like Bridgetown in a city like Portland is someone to listen to.
At Mission Central, I and others are kind of spiritual formation junkies. We love to talk about spiritual formation. We also talk a lot about leadership. But it's a phrase that not everyone is familiar with, even committed followers of Jesus. So yeah. If you could just give a kind of a brief description, what is spiritual formation?
Yeah, great. I'm going to steal, because I think the best of us do. We steal yes. good definitions from brilliant people. I'm not sure if you've read Robert Mulholland's book, Invitation to a Journey, but it is absolutely one of the best books on spiritual formation out there. I recommend it to everyone. Yes. It's a great kind of 101. And Mulholland says this: it's a process of being conformed to the image of Christ or the likeness of Christ for the sake of other people. And I actually love that. There's a lot that could go into that and kind of, you know, you can kind of dive into that a bit further, but I like the simplicity of it. It's a process of being conformed to the likeness of Jesus, becoming whole people. Really, we do this through the disciplines for the sake of other people. And I like the idea of formation. I think it's actually the most biblical to look at it, not just for a work that's done within us for ourselves, but it's really for other people as well.
You mentioned this idea of spiritual formation being a process, but we want to make sure that we understand that process in biblical terms. And I actually was recently talking with a young leader, and he asked me, is spiritual formation like a Buddhist thing? Is this like something from other religions? And right. so could you just speak to what's the real biblical or theological source of this idea of this process?
Really, if you look across the board at the biblical narrative of the scriptures, we see that there's a perpetual ethos, if you will, of formational work or this process of sanctification or transformation happening in the lives of those who follow either the way of Yahweh or follow Jesus. You know, this kind of symbiotic reality between the two throughout the Old and New Testament. So we would say that spiritual formation is rooted really in the heart of the scriptures, obviously in the life of Jesus, but it's this journey that a disciple of Jesus or a follower of Jesus takes from day one to really say, I am not just where I am, but God has a destiny for me or a plan for me that requires the things in me that are broken or out of whack, maybe not even things I'm conscious of. God has a plan for me to come into alignment with the wholeness of who he created me to be. So I think, you know, we think about it in terms of Eden. You know, there was this beautiful design in Genesis 1 for the way that humans were supposed to be flourishing and alive and awake to the world and really awake and in union with the Spirit of God. And when sin entered that, it obviously disrupted everything. So we would see formation as kind of a returning to that Edenic beauty and wholeness, that shalom of God that was ordered from the beginning. So the disciplines or the rhythms of that return obviously look different, but that's that pathway of formation. That's that journey back to wholeness. So we would just say it is generally on every page, you know, the story of Israel, all the way to what we see in the book of Revelation, there's a narrative of God redeeming and restoring what was broken to bring us back to our original design.
So what I hear you saying is even if the language of spiritual formation might be new to some people, or if that exact way of framing it might be new, it's not a new concept. It's describing that whole arc of the scriptures have always taught that's about that restoration process, both for the whole world and corporately in the church and then in individual hearts as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
So we're not in some new niche category of Christianity here. We're in the stream of what Jesus taught and what his followers have been about for a long time.
Right. You know, I grew up in the South and spiritual formation was not the language that we used for this, you know, So I get that there's some, it can kind of feel new agey or kind of just like your friend Buddhist-y or whatever the kind of paradigm is, but really it's as centered and as weighty as orthodoxy. It's, I believe, this practice of spiritual formation, this is the language you're using, but it is rooted in a beautiful orthodoxy. These are the fundamental doctrinal realities, not only just of the Christian faith, but really of the world. I think you could argue for that. And then really it's out of the orthodoxy or what we believe comes this orthopraxy of how we do our lives, how we live our lives. And I think formation is just that. Yes, it's a work of sanctification. Yes, it's a work, you know, of developing, of moving from one place to another. And people have different language for that. But I think formation to me sums it up. It's about this transformation. It's about being spiritually formed. And it's really that simple, you know, it's not as mystical maybe as it sounds in a lot of ways.
You'll notice that Pastor Bethany used this phrase, the disciplines, a couple of times. I asked her to expand on that.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's easy to get caught up in some of the language. So as much as it's important and really valuable and can be really helpful, I know that it can also be a barrier. So if discipline's a triggering word for you and it, you know, reminds you of getting spanked when you were younger or some kind of weird spiritual experience you had at some church back in the day, then I wouldn't want that to be a hindrance. So rhythm I like because it's really speaking to something that's consistent. And I think really that's what we're talking about here. When it comes to spiritual formation, what we're looking for are rhythms in the spiritual life that produce and even develop and create pathways or even pockets for God's Spirit to come and do his best work in us. So the disciplines can be anything from reading the scriptures or having a set prayer time. Some people go away and have days of silence and solitude. They're all alone. They're by themselves. And it's just about creating space for God's Spirit to come and to meet with you. These are just on-ramps, if you will, to the presence of God. Oftentimes when we think about the disciplines, we put the onus on ourselves. When we think about practices or this, you know, we feel responsible for what happens in that place and we get really caught up in that. But the gift of the disciplines, when they're truly executed, I think in the way that they were designed to by desert fathers and mothers and the church for 2000 years, I think they're actually really just us doing the work of creating the space. And then the good work, the harder work is what God does is he meets with us and he does the heavy lifting. And I think if we can view the disciplines that way, hopefully they'll feel a bit more tangible and less terrifying, you know, a bit more welcoming. Cause it's like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to go for this. Cause this is kind of a pathway for me to encounter God's presence uniquely. And it's his job to do the work, to show up, to meet me and to do the work of transformation. I'm just setting the stage and that's pretty doable for most of us. So that's kind of how I think about it. Maybe that's helpful. Maybe it's not, but I definitely think they're has been a season for a lot of us to take responsibility. When it comes to disciplines, it's like, oh, this is just another place for me to fail. This is just another place for me to be disappointing. And I really think the way that at least God has inspired it to be is really more about just creating space for Him and let Him do what needs to be done. So that's helped me a ton on my own journey, is just viewing it that way. And then it actually makes the process of disciplines joyful and not laborious, which is great.
You're listening to Mission Central, a podcast for emerging Christian leaders. Our efforts are supported by our patrons. Special shout out today to patrons Hester Buell, Josh Fort, and Jeffrey Hagberg. Subscribe to our blog at missioncentral.church. Now, back to the podcast. Our guest today is Pastor Bethany Allen of Bridgetown Church in Portland, Oregon. Spiritual formation is about our hidden inner life. Because it's hidden, it can be hard to tell if it's working or not. So I asked Pastor Bethany about that.
How can we tell if we're on the right track? Because you said this is a process, it's a process of greater connection to God, but also this restoration. So it is meant to make a difference in our hearts and in our lives. How can we tell that our heart is changing? When I run, I can measure how fast my mile is, but I can't really do that in the same way with a stopwatch with my heart. So how can we tell?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things that come to mind, and then one that's kind of an overarching paradigm, I think, for kind of measuring your growth in the Lord, which, by the way, is okay. It's important to do that, to be like, this is making a difference, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no shame in being like, is this working? Because we all need to ask that question. I think the first two things that come to mind, one is a greater self-awareness or spirit awareness. I think the work of formation is about your whole being, this work of wholeness, of you coming into alignment with the heart, the mind, and the will of God. So I think when someone is moving ahead, when we're starting to see growth, we usually start to see a broadened perspective, not only of themselves, but of the world and what the Spirit of God is doing. That's kind of the first marker for me. So how that plays out, that sounds really spiritual. I get it. I know what it sounds like. But it really just, it comes out in ways like, hey, I was just like praying for this person and the Spirit brought this to mind. And it was so interesting because it made me think about this, that, or the other. Or I'm really realizing, myself, I'm feeling insecure in these ways and just, kind of figuring out where the Spirit wants to meet me in that or whatever. So there's just an awareness, a coming online that happens as we become healed, as we become whole beings. And then second, I think about just spiritual maturity, which again can sound kind of broad and sweeping, but it's the place in our spiritual life where we begin to take responsibility for both self and others. That's kind of how I would define spiritual maturity. So it's no longer going, well, what is this sermon going to give me? What are these pastors going to do for me? Like, how am I, kind of looking to other people to kind of meet those spiritual needs, but it's us beginning through our awareness to go, hey, wait a second. I have a responsibility before God to own what's happening inside of me. And even if it's a small step, I could read the scriptures or I could pray or I could put myself around other Jesus following people. So I'm taking responsibility at some level for my spiritual life. And then at the same time as that grows, we see that people begin to take spiritual responsibility for other people. Mm-hmm. So just like Mulholland said, we begin to move outward because that's what the Spirit of God naturally compels us to do. So when the Spirit's at work and there's maturity happening, we begin to see it's not just about us, right? Babies, it's always about them. They want to be fed when they want to be fed. They want to go to bed when they want to go to bed, But as they grow, they begin to become aware of the world around them. The same is true with us spiritually. So there's a maturity that says, I'm beginning to take responsibility, not just for self, but other people. So those are kind of the two that come to mind. And then finally, what I would say both of those things are is the work of integration is kind of the words we would use. So there's an integration of our spiritual life as well as with our human creation and design. There's an integration towards who we've been made to be, again, that Edenic identity, or moving closer to that and further away from the brokenness, whether it's from others or ourself, and moving more towards this kind of wholeness mentality. But that's the work of integration, integrating God's healing, his presence, his strength, his truth into our life, and that ultimately making us into who we were made to be. So those are kind of first thoughts when it comes to those things. It's just this good work of, you know, the disciplines actually turning into a way of life. That's the, that work of integration, you know, where we just don't even recognize that what we're doing anymore is something we have to force ourselves to do. It's just the way that we live our life. And that's that integration paradigm.
Something that it makes me wonder about is the connection to emotional life as well. If it's this integration process, it is going to touch on, you know, our emotional life, you know, in a deep way. So could you just speak to that? Like, how does this spiritual journey relate to our emotional journey in life?
Yeah, I mean, that is a great question. I think something that's actually even missed a lot in the conversation around spiritual formation. For sure, I think we would see emotional health and spiritual formation as kind of unified, intertwined entities when it comes to the deep work. If again, formation is about wholeness of person, then that requires us kind of going into, with the help of the Spirit, those places in us that may or may not be healthy or good or strong or whatever. You know, I think of formation work as both horizontal and vertical. If again, it's about not only about our relationship to God, but our about our relationship to the world around us, then there's always going to be work to do with how we relate. You know, that's really that question is how you relate is how you relate. How do I relate to God? And why do I relate to God this way? How do I relate to other people? And why do I relate to other people the way that I do? How do I relate to myself? And why does it look a certain way or doesn't look a certain way? All of those questions, which are fundamental to the formational path.
So I want to make things just really practical for our listeners. Say, you know, we got somebody listening to this episode and they're just like, this sounds great. Sign me up. What do I do? What would you say is a good place to start?
Yeah, it's great. As far as practices go, I think the best places you can start are reading the scriptures in a rhythm of prayer and or silence and solitude where you would engage with God in prayer. I would say do those things. Now, I know that's intimidating. People are like, what the heck? Have you seen the Bible? It's ginormous and it's boring sometimes. Yeah. So what I would say is start small. You know, this is what we say to everyone. I remember I had a mentor years ago who said to me, I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day. I want you to spend 5 minutes a day relating to God in some way. And one of the best ways to do that is to read a psalm maybe in the morning and then to spend 2 minutes praying to God and follow whatever rhythm you want to do that. It could be, you know, the old acronym, the ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving. It could just be, you know, a daily practice of thanksgiving to God or an invitation of the Spirit of God, come and help me today. It could be that simple. But I would really say start small. I think in the work of formation, myself included, we get really caught up in this idea when we hear people talking. And even, you know, with us here, John Mark, our pastor, lead pastor, his personality is perfectly wired to do formational disciplines with excellence and perfection. It's like, you know, 8 hours and blah, blah. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? I'm not built that way. So early on, I just had to give myself permission to say, hey, this is going to look different for you. And really, it's about doing it as opposed to making it some kind of elaborate, big effort. You know, it's about making these small changes that will grow into something more. And I can just tell you, it does grow. The 5 minutes will eventually not feel enough. You know, silence and solitude, if you're like, I can do 1 hour tops, great. But over time, as the work is being done in you, and again, as the Spirit is meeting you and transforming you and calling you into places of greater freedom and joy, that changes. So I would just say start small. I would start with simple practices like reading the Bible, which is pretty accessible, and praying and getting alone with God to pray. And I think those two things are kind of the key steps that I offer to anyone in the realm of just where do I start? What does this look like practically? And I can just, I would even encourage someone to take it one step further. If you were, you know, in my office on my couch, this is what I'd say. Start small, 5 minutes, read a psalm and offer up a prayer to the Lord. That's it. But on the flip side, I would say, and if you can, give me another 2 minutes. And all I want you to do is at the end of the day, notice how that impacted you. Just at the beginning, it's so good to practice. You know, we do this in what we call the prayer of examine, you know, further on in the spiritual formation journey, where we kind of reflect on the day, where was God? What was he doing? What was he saying? But in a small way, it's so healthy for us to even at the end of the day go, before we get out of our car, you know, to head inside after a day of work, how did my time, my 5 minutes with God shape or impact my day today? How did it change my thinking or temper my spirit or give me peace? Whatever it is, I just think I would encourage anyone who's starting at the beginning to just take inventory of it. And again, it takes 5 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minutes. It could literally be that small. Mm-hmm. We spend way more time on Instagram, you know, with those kind of things. So just think of it as one big scroll Indeed. Through and that's it, you know? So I think if we gave God 7 minutes a day, we would begin to see powerful changes in our life. And that's important, you know, for the road ahead.
That's great. Thank you for giving that that practical next step. I do just want to ask briefly about leadership as well, since that's the other side of your role at Bridgetown. And you mentioned that spiritual formation and leadership are connected. So, you know, some of our listeners are not in full-time ministry. They're stepping into leadership in the marketplace or as educators or in the nonprofit sector somewhere. What difference does spiritual formation make to all those kinds of expressions of leadership?
Absolutely. Great question. I would say that formation is the lifeblood of every good leader. That's the simple way I would put it. That formation is the blood that flows through the leader, empowers the heart of the leader, the mind of the leader, every system the leader hopes to function in and operate in. It's the lifeblood. It's what keeps us moving and alive and vibrant and alert to the work around us. You know, a lot of people, we're into the influence part of leadership, you know, but true influence, I think even spiritual influence, the kind that we're actually after when we're in line with the Spirit of God, cannot happen without the work of the Spirit of God in us. If we want to be dynamic, if we want to be conduits of God's Spirit to change lives, it cannot be done without the animation of God's Spirit. And formation and the work of it is what cultivates that. It is what puts oxygen in the blood. It is what moves things ahead in us as leaders. It also gives us the mind of Christ. It gives us the heart of Christ. It gives us wisdom and insight where we wouldn't otherwise have it. I don't know what it's like. I can't even imagine being a leader without having access to God's wisdom and his discernment and, you know, all the necessary temperaments that's required in leadership. It's difficult. Leadership is one of the hardest things you can do. We saw that after this last year. All of us feel pretty beat up. And we wouldn't be in leadership if it weren't for the good and nurturing work of the Spirit that moved us forward in it. You know, it's one thing to be dynamic. It's a whole other, another thing to be inspired and animated as we lead others. And we need the insight and influence of God's Spirit leading us as we lead others if we're actually going to be effective. So I would say it's central, it's key, it's the lifeblood. And any leader in the kingdom of God where formation isn't part of their journey, I would argue we're at best missing out on 50 to 90% of what God's Spirit actually wants to accomplish through them. So I just think I cannot think of a leader who is not, that I respect and love and admire, who is not being formed and has done the good work of formation.
I asked Pastor Bethany to close our time with a prayer for you, our listeners.
Well, Father, we thank you that your Spirit is at work and that, Father, you close the gaps in our weakness. You're merciful that way. You are good and loving that way. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would bless every hearer of this podcast. I pray that, Father, if there are things from you here that are for them, I pray that they would be like seeds being planted in their inner man or inner woman, and that those seeds would go deep, grow and strengthen and even change and shift these listeners more into the image of your son. I pray for those who maybe are just starting out or entertaining this idea, would you give them faith and the assurance of your spirit as they take these steps forward to really even explore even what it means to be formed into your likeness. And I pray, Father, for grace for those of us who are leading and seeking to be faithful with this life that you've given us. Father, would you empower us, protect us, and lead us as we seek to lead other people. So Father, now I just pray you'd bless this crew. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for the leadership within it. I thank you for the gift that it is to the hearers. May God, your spirit, may Jesus be glorified by all that's said and done. And we just pray those things together. We do it by faith and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Mission Central, a podcast that helps emerging Christian leaders explore effective leadership, spiritual formation, emotional health, and multi-ethnic community. Mission Central is written and produced by Allison Freeman and me, Chris Easley. You can subscribe to Mission Central on Apple Podcasts, at our website, missioncentral.church, or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is part of a four-episode micro-season. If a season with only four episodes makes you sad because you like what you're hearing, don't worry. Mission Central is more than a podcast. We blog all year long, and we even run in-person events. To learn more and to hear our full interview with Pastor Bethany, just go to missioncentral.church. Until next time, remember that how you lead comes from who you are.